The Epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in all of his epistles, at least the ones I've covered so far, he opens saying, grace unto you. Grace is the most important thing in Christianity in regards to salvation. It's what makes salvation possible. Without the grace of God being shed upon us, we have no hope of salvation. You know, we are saved by grace through faith. Because, you know, and it says, let grace reign, or that grace might reign through righteousness. The reign of grace in our lives and the salvation of our souls and our faith are all intertwined by grace. The grace of God. And what is grace? A lot of times, you hear it said that grace is unmerited favor. It's favor that you did not merit. And the funny thing is, a lot of people who say they preach grace teach you that there is some work you have to do in order to merit grace. Meaning you have to choose to love God or trust in the cross of Christ to receive the grace of God. But the grace of God comes first. It precedes all other considerations. Your ability to love God or receive the gospel or live in obedience to God's word is all predicated on the grace of God being shed upon you first. Because to all men is not the grace of God given. The grace of God is not given to every single person. Now, it's given to all peoples, meaning Jews and Gentiles, male, female, rich and poor, small and great. It is given to all in that sense, but not in the sense of every individual. There are vessels of grace, vessels of mercy, as they're called in Romans chapter 9, and there are also vessels of wrath. There are the children of disobedience and the children whom God favors. There is no earthly way to tell the difference between those things, except, well, there are definitely signs. There are definitely seals that appear. But ultimately, until Christ be formed in you, you know, those things have, you know, I'm always very slow to judge things before their time. Like Jesus in the parable of the tares of the field, he said that the good man said to his laborers, who were the angels, you know, they asked, should we tear up the tares? He says, no, don't tear up the tares, lest you tear up some of the wheat also. If the judgment of God had come down on the day Stephen was stoned, the Apostle Paul would have been found to be a sinner. But because of the grace of God, as Paul had stated in his other epistle, and you know, I'm teaching this epistle having already taught the book of Romans, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Galatians, and Ephesians. And so my references to those books are going to be mostly in affirmative statements and not always going back and leading you by the hand. So if you haven't studied those books with me, it's highly recommended that you do. Because I'd like to build on a foundation as opposed to relaying the foundation each time. But still, if you look in the first chapter of Ephesians, you will read the way in which God calls people. Before they are born, he predestinates them to be adopted. The grace of God is the mechanism by which God selects those whom he has ordained for salvation. And so that is what makes it so very, very important. Without it, we cannot be saved. There's nothing we can do to make God pleased, we can do to earn the grace of God. And by prior good behavior, I cannot make God turn and say, hey, look at, he's looking pretty good. How about him? I'll help that boy along. He's showing some signs. If I give him a little more, maybe he'll turn to me. Maybe he'll choose me. Pick me, Paul. Pick me. Like God is this, like you're picking teams and God is the last one and nobody wants to choose him. He's just desperate that you would choose him. It's a bunch of nonsense. In all the epistles we've studied so far, this is the first mention of bishops and deacons. A bishop is the Greek word episkopos. Or we have the Episcopal Church. Episcopal, episkopos. It means to look over or to oversee. A bishop is the overseer of the church. This is really the role most pastors are filling these days. They are overseers. They are in charge of the church. A deacon is, diakonos is a servant. And it means, so these are people who are officially, I'm looking back in the Old Testament time. I don't know what modern deacons, what they do, I don't care. I want to know what happened in the old times. Some of the first deacons in the church would be men like Stephen, who were appointed as official servants within the body of Christ to execute different offices, whatever those might be. I mean, a lot of these things may overlap. You could be a prophet and a deacon. You could be a pastor and be a deacon if you had like a separate overseer. Of course, the way, by tradition, most churches are organized in such a way that the pastor is pretty much everything. Most. Or that the pastor is the bishop. I mean, that's pretty universal. But it doesn't have to be, by any means. Someone could be in charge of the church and never speak publicly. It could be like a behind the scenes. They're the overseer of the church, But they're not necessarily the shepherd of the sheep. They could be the one watching the shepherd of the sheep. They could watch several shepherds, You could have, like in a city, you might have one bishop and have, I'm just talking about Old Testament times. You might have the bishop of such and such a city, and under him would be other churches and so on and so forth, But it's an important role. I think a lot of these things, I'm saying them by permission and not by a law.